My name is Hannah Winters.
And I'm Rachel Sakonic.
Both certified clinical technologists from the microbiology lab here at Johns Hopkins Hospital. Welcome to the very first episode of Microside Chat Podcast.
As the hosts, our goal of this podcast is to showcase the expertise of our microbiology laboratory and discuss important updates, changes, and breakthroughs in clinical microbiology.
For our very first episode, we have Professor Emeretta of Department of Pathology at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and former Director of Microbiology Laboratory for 23 years, Dr. Karen Carroll.
Dr. Carroll will be our expert on today's topic of Salmonella. During the holiday season, there's often more cooking, larger gatherings with more high-risk foods, essentially an enteric pathogen like Salmonella's playground. Fortunately, we have Dr. Carroll here to help us navigate how to not only be safe when handling foods, but also educate us about the potential risks.
For listeners who may have heard the name but don't fully understand it, what is Salmonella?
Thank you. Salmonella are germs, that is bacteria, that can make people sick. People get infected after swallowing the bacteria, most commonly from contaminated food.
How common is Salmonella infection, and what symptoms should people be aware of?
Yes, it's actually pretty common. The Centers for Disease Control estimates that Salmonella cause 1.35 million infections in the United States each year. In terms of symptoms, somewhere between 6 hours and 6 days after ingesting the bacteria, people will develop watery diarrhea that may contain blood or mucus. Stomach cramps that accompany the diarrhea may be very severe. Other symptoms may include fever, headache, nausea, vomiting, and poor appetite. Very young children and the elderly may experience prolonged illness and require hospitalization.
Are there specific holiday foods or cooking situations that increase Salmonella risk?
Many people enjoy stuffed poultry, especially turkeys, around the holidays. They also may make desserts requiring eggs in the batter, and some people may also make their own eggnog.
I love all of those foods, so good to know. What mistakes do people commonly make when preparing large meals?
A common mistake is not separating potentially contaminated food like poultry from vegetables or other foods when preparing the meal. Also, not using a food thermometer when cooking, but depending on how the food looks to determine if it's done. Sampling raw cookie dough, which is so tempting when making those holiday cookies, is another big mistake that people make.
So, Dr. Carroll, what are the top safety practices home cooks should follow to avoid Salmonella?
That's a great question, Rachel. The Centers for Disease Control recommends 4 steps to food safety. And those 4 steps are clean, separate, cook, and chill. An easy first step is to wash your hands prior to food preparation, during and after food preparation, and before eating. Clean utensils, cutting boards, and countertops with hot soapy water after preparing each food item. Keep risky foods, such as raw or undercooked poultry, especially chicken and turkey, seafood and raw eggs, separate from the other foods that you're preparing. As I mentioned, do not sample raw dough or raw batter. Now, let's talk a little bit about how to thaw that turkey before cooking using 1 of 3 methods. Probably the best method is to thaw it in the refrigerator in its original packaging and in a container. Never take the raw bird or turkey and place it directly on a shelf in the refrigerator, because this could contaminate the other food that's in the refrigerator. The U.S. Department of Agriculture and the CDC suggest allowing approximately 24 hours for each 4 to 5 pounds of turkey. A thawed turkey in this manner can be stored in the refrigerator for up to 2 days before cooking. The second method of thawing is in cold water. Place the turkey in a leak-proof plastic bag before placing in the sink. The turkey should be completely covered with water. Allow 30 minutes of thawing for each pound of turkey. Change the water frequently. Every 30 minutes is suggested. Turkeys thawed in cold water should be cooked immediately after thawing. And finally, the third method could be in your microwave, but you would have to consult the manufacturer's instructions for how to do this properly. Turkeys thawed in this way should also be cooked immediately after thawing. Never thaw a turkey on the open countertop because the germs can continue to grow rapidly even when the center is still frozen. Once the poultry is thawed, cook it thoroughly. Cooking times depend upon the size of the bird. The CDC website has this excellent table on cooking times. Use a food thermometer to make sure the thickest part of the poultry reaches a minimum temperature of 165 degrees Fahrenheit.
What's the right way to store leftovers, and how long are they actually safe?
Well, if there are leftovers after the holiday meal, refrigerate the leftovers at 40 degrees Fahrenheit or colder within 2 hours of cooking. If the refrigerated food is not eaten within 4 days, then freeze the leftovers to store them for longer. And then once you reheat those leftovers, again, use your food thermometer to determine that the temperature has reached 165 degrees before serving or eating.
What are the biggest myths about salmonella you'd like to bust today?
Well, one of the myths is that you should rinse your poultry before cooking, because that would decrease the risk of foodborne illness. And in fact, you know, it's just the opposite. Poultry juice can spread and contaminate other foods. Also, another myth is that you have to let your food cool completely before placing it in the refrigerator or freezer. And again, that is not accurate. And finally, if the food looks brown and it looks like it's done, then it's safe to eat. And really, it's recommended that you use a food thermometer whenever roasting or baking the poultry.
How can consumers stay aware of salmonella outbreaks or food recalls during this busy season?
Yeah, you know, there are actually many resources for consumers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture homepage, for example, has this radio button labeled recalls that can be toggled. And you toggle it and up pops all of this really valuable information. The United States Food and Drug Administration issues recalls and public health alerts, so consumers can actually sign up to receive those alerts by email, or one could search the web routinely for FDA recalls. State and local health departments may also have local information on their websites.
Are there things to look for when buying poultry, eggs, or ready-made foods?
So first of all, I think, you know, I'd like to emphasize that fresh foods are preferred over ready-made foods. Make sure when you buy something that the packages are intact and the eggs are not cracked. Always check the labels for sell-by and use-by dates and honor those. And once purchased, discard any items that are not consumed by the time of the use-by date.
Shifting gears more towards laboratory medicine, if someone gets sick and seeks medical care, how does the lab actually confirm it's salmonella? And what kind of tests are used today? Are we still relying on cultures, or has technology changed?
Oh, that's a great question, Rachel. So as you know, many laboratories now have these molecular syndromic panel tests that can detect not only salmonella, but other bacteria, viruses, and parasites that cause gastrointestinal illness. These tests have the advantage of testing the stool directly without having to wait for the organisms to grow in culture. This method is not only faster than culture-based methods, but also is more sensitive. Culture can still be used, however, to confirm the molecular test results and also to test the salmonella against drugs that can be used to treat the infection should treatment be required.
Dr. Carroll, what would be some final advice you would recommend for the listeners to follow to stay safe this holiday season?
Yes, thank you. I think I would like to emphasize the CDC's 4 rules for food safety: clean, separate, cook, and chill. If these rules are followed, everyone will have a delicious and salmonella-free holiday season. Happy holidays, everyone.
Great. Thank you so much for joining us for our first Microcide Chat podcast. A huge thank you to Dr. Carroll for joining us and providing key points on how to stay safe and healthy this holiday season. My name is Rachel Sakonic.
And I'm Hannah Winters,
your host of Microcide Chat podcast. Remember to clean, separate, cook, and chill, and we'll see you next time.